Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Glad you could join us for the Big Red Bench on this Sunday evening. Rory O'Hagan, Lauren Guilfoyle here for the next hour, taking you through all the day's action. A busy day of sport, a busy weekend of sport, particularly in the Cork Football Championships. On the show tonight, we will have reaction from Nemo Rangers, St. Finbarr's. We'll hear from Castlehaven, we'll hear from Newcestown, and we'll hear from Bandon as well, all to come between now and 7 p.m. as well. We're also going to talk to Lizzie Lee. We'll hear from her about her plans for the Olympics and everything else about the Dublin Marathon as well. So that's all to come between now and 7 o'clock right here on the Big Red Bench. We're here until 7 o'clock. Glad you could join us on this Sunday evening. And it has been a very, very busy day indeed. And to get us right up to date, Miss Lauren Guilfoyle, how are you?
I'm good, Rory. How are you?
I'm good. Great to be in here. Great to be talking sport. It's really, really busy. So I couldn't actually be happier on the sport talking radio, considering there was a point a couple of months back I didn't think I'd be on the sport on my radio ever again. This is fantastic.
And we're not going to take it for granted, I don't think.
Certainly not.
So yeah, there was a fairly busy weekend, I suppose, in the Premier Senior Football Championship and right across the grades here in the Cork Football Championship. This afternoon there are a couple of results from that Premier Senior grade. Castlehaven overcame Newcestown 112 to Newcestown's 9 points. Castlehaven now top Group B, and Newcestown will face Carbery Rangers for the other qualification spot, while Illan Rovers need to overcome both Castlehaven and a significant points difference to alleviate relegation fears. In Group A, Ballincollig overcame Clonakilty this afternoon 217 to 110, and St Finbarr's overcame Carrigaline 220 to 110 in Páirc Uí Chaoimh this afternoon. Stephen Sherlock scoring 111 for the Bears, 1-7 from play, also placing the Bears in top position in that group. In Group C, it was Valley Rovers 114 to Douglas 3-5, a 3-point victory for the Valleys, while Nemo overcame Bishopstown last night. Nemo currently topped that group, while both Douglas and Valley Rovers can secure the second qualification spot. In the Senior A Football Championship, Fermoy 2-6, Clyder Rovers 2-7, and Doheny's 12 points to Bandon's 12 points, so a draw. In the Premier Intermediate Football Championship this afternoon, Newmarket 2-10, Ahada 11 points. Castletown Bear 4-9 to Napiershiks 2-11, so that's a 4-point victory for Castletown Bear. And Kanturk and Nemo Rangers face off this evening at 7 p.m. In the Intermediate A Football Championship, there are also two fixtures down for decision later on. St Finbarr's meet Glenville at 7 p.m. in Carrignavagh, and Glanworth face Mayfield also at 7 p.m. in Blarney. While earlier today in the Intermediate A Championship, it finished Kildallery 1-12 to Glanmire's 2-8, so that's a 1-point victory for Kildallery, while Kilshannig beat Ahabalogue 10 points to Ahabalogue 7. And then last night, one result from the Senior Camogie Championship in the later fixture, Douglas overcame Ballincollig 3-16 to 1-12. Then on to football, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer will attempt to reach his first final as Manchester United manager tonight. The Red Devils take on Sevilla in the last four of the Europa League. United have been beaten in the League Cup and FA Cup semi-finals already this season, and Solskjaer is determined that won't happen again.
We've learned that it's very painful to lose a semi-final. We're ready. We are physically definitely ready. Mentally, the boys will be ready, because semi-final, everyone would want to take part and join in, and I just want them to enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that one, kicking off at 8 o'clock tonight, and I suppose a chance for Man United to add some silverware to what's been a decent season. Solskjaer securing Champions League football for next year, and I think he'd like to go now and win the Europa League. It's a kind of a bit weird, those one-legged semi-finals and quarter-finals that we've seen this week, and we saw some fantastic drama last night with Lyon defeating Manchester City, so I'm kind of enjoying these one-legged semi-finals, I have to say.
Yeah, they're a bit of a novelty. Manchester City boss, Pep Guardiola remains hopeful that they will eventually go further than the Champions League quarterfinals. His side suffered heartbreak last night in the last eight for the third year in a row, following last night's 3-1 defeat to Lyon. Guardiola insists he'll do all he can to improve the club's fortunes in Europe.
What these guys has done, we deserve, you know, to do it again, or to go through and go to reach the semi-finals, but we are not able. But life is how you stand up again, and next season we're going to try again.
Yeah, he certainly wasn't a happy man last night, but a good win for Leon last night, some good goals as well, and yeah.
In the Scottish Premiership, Rangers are currently facing Livingston. A win for Stephen Gerrard's team will see them go top of the table. It's scoreless there, though, after 60 minutes. While here at home, St Pat's hosts Shamrock Rovers in the SSE Electricity League. It's currently scoreless there also, heading into the second half. In women's football, closer to home, Cork City lost 3-0 to champions Piemont this afternoon in their first home game in the Women's National League. On to golf then, where Seamus Power has overtaken Shane Lowry in the Wynnham Championship leaderboard on the final day. Power has picked up 4 shots on the front nine to move up to 10 under par and 8 strokes behind Korea's Kim Siwoo, who leads on 18 under. Lowry's level par after 2 holes of his final round and remains 9 under. In snooker then, Ronnie O'Sullivan is just 1 frame away from winning his 6th World Championship title. The Rocket leads Kyron Wilson 17-8 after the end of the 3rd session of the decider at the Crucible. The 2 men will resume the match at 7:30 p.m.
Yeah, sneaking suspicion Ronnie O'Sullivan's going to win that one.
And then in motorsport, Lewis Hamilton has extended his World Championship lead to 37 points over Red Bull's Max Verstappen. The British driver won the Spanish Grand Prix this afternoon ahead of Verstappen, which is his 4th victory in 6 races so far this season.
And Lewis Hamilton looking very, very good indeed. Today should have been an historic day. Today should have been the day where we saw Patrick Horgan climb the steps in Croke Park and lift the Liam McCarthy Cup. Today is All-Ireland Hurling Final Day. Well, it was before the pandemic.
Do I have to go with that narrative? Being a Clare woman working in Tipperary? Well, to be fair, the Clare senior hurlers should be out in the pitch today celebrating 25-year anniversary of their victory.
Well, yeah.
At least
one Clare team would have been in Croke Park today, I suppose.
Yeah, no, it's a pity now that we aren't in Croke Park today watching whoever it might be.
Cork, yeah.
climbing up those Hogan steps. There's so much club action on. I don't think too many people are missing it too much.
It was only when you tweeted today, you were down in Parky Cree to say, today was All-Ireland Final Day. I was like, today was All-Ireland Final Day. The world has changed so significantly and so drastically over the last couple of months. I forgot that today was going to be All-Ireland Final Day, and it would have been Cork's first title in a very, very long time. I'm quite confident the Cork winning the All-Ireland title, have you noticed?
Yeah, it seems to be the case, all right. But who would have known? I suppose there was a couple of teams showing great form throughout the league, and who would have known what would have happened in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, Cork would have won it. You're dead right. So yeah, today, All-Ireland Hurling Final Day.
Maybe we would have let Cork beat Clare, I suppose it didn't happen the last time around, but you know.
Oh, it's like that now, is it?
First time lucky?
Bringing up 2013 now. Oh, that was a low blow. No need for that whatsoever. I was in good form and all today. I had a dream. I was playing for the Cork Hurlers the other night. I had a dream that I was in goal for the Cork Hurlers in Páirc Uí Chaoimh against Tipperary. And all of a sudden I'm just like, oh my God, I'm playing for the Cork Hurlers. And then I realised I had no hurley. You kind of need that to play hurling. You need that to play in goal for the Cork Hurlers.
Yes.
So I had to run up, while the game was going on, I had to run over to the sideline. And I said, lads, I've no hurley. Can I have a hurley? They're like, what size do you need? I said, 30. And they said, we don't have children's hurleys here. Because I'm a very, very short person. I don't need a very, very big hurley.
You know, it wouldn't be the first time that the Cork goalkeeper would be missing some equipment. You know, a couple of years ago, the Clare backroom team did actually steal the balls from the nets.
I forgot about that, yeah.
There is a precedent Slittergate. There already. Yeah, Slittergate.
So I think that must be an anxiety dream that I had, because it's kind of like, you know, those dreams where you've no homework done for school and you wake up going, ah, it was all a dream. So obviously, me thinking I'm a Cork, obviously up to Cork hurling standard, and playing a goal with no hurling. I'm like, there's probably a deeper meaning to that if you delve into that.
Sure, Anthony Nash is definitely at home concerned now over that dream, all right, I would think. Giving him anxiety, I'm sure.
Well, Ash, if you're listening at home and coming for your job, buddy, just need to learn how to play hurling and learn how to specialise as a goalkeeper in the next, what, couple of weeks, and I reckon I'll be able to take his starting spot.
Yeah.
Just make sure I go hurley on the day. All right. As Lauren was mentioning, a very, very busy day indeed today in the Senior Football Championship. We're going to start down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, because St Finbarr's continued their winning ways in the Premier Senior Football Championship. They defeated Carrigaline today to top their group heading into the final round. They played, they managed 2-16 from play, 1-7. Stephen Sherlock 1-4 from the boot of Killian Myers-Murray. Paul Keyes-Barr set at 13 points to spare the final result, 220 to Carrigaline's 110. Lauren has been speaking to the manager, Paul O'Keefe.
Coming into the game, my fear was, look, Carrigaline had everything to lose. You know, this was their kind of championship moment in terms of staying in the championship. So there was a big worry for us coming in, you know. Like, the only thing, I suppose, look, we trained really well all week, so I felt that there was a big performance in us, all right, like, you know. So look, just delighted with that end, you know, with that outcome. Like, it was fantastic, you know. So
the amount of space that your forwards were given, they did definitely capitalised on that in terms of the scoreboard.
Ah, yeah, look, their movement is great. Look, you know, I suppose, look, we have a dangerous inside full forward line, you know, so look, they made the most of it, you know. And look, there was good ball going in, you know, and that's something we'd be conscious of in training as well, like, you know. So look, just delighted with the performance all round.
The return from play actually was quite significant. Sherlock with 1-7, and I think Myers Murray got 1-5, so you must be happy enough with that.
Yeah, sure, look, if you're inside forward to doing that kind of damage, you'll be happy all day with it, you know. So yeah, look, the lads on great form, and Killian is coming into a really good vein of form in the last few games. We played a challenge match last week against Mallow. He was in great form, you know, so I was kind of half expecting that the two boys would be in good fettle today, like, so it all worked out well.
Any particular aspects of your performance today that you might work on, I suppose, coming into the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, look, I suppose there's always take home points, you know. I suppose if we'll go away and look at the video tonight, and there's always kind of in hindsight that you'll pick out a few pointers, you know. But look, you know, any day that you're scoring kind of 220, you know, there isn't too much of a problem with your performance, like, you know. But I'm sure there's things that we look at. You know, I suppose like, we created a few goal chances in the first half that we didn't convert, you know. So so look, that's something that we probably need to work on, you know. But yeah, but sure, look, I'm happy out, you know. So
how did you find playing in an empty, I suppose, Parky Cueve?
Yeah, look, I suppose I was done with the hurlers against the Glen and stuff, and there's still a bit of an atmosphere, even though there's only 200 in there. You still get that kind of feel for it, you know. It'd be great if there was more, like, but I suppose, look, in the current climate with the numbers climbing and all the rest of it, that's going to be an issue going forward. But look, it's championship at the end of the day, you know. So yeah, you still get that little bit of a vibe from even the small crowd that's there, like. So it still feels like championship.
Is that a concern for you with the numbers rising? Are you perhaps looking at every game as potentially maybe your last?
Oh geez, yeah, look, I suppose with the numbers last night, I was kind of really demoralised looking at that, you know. You're kind of wondering, will we get to finish the championship out, you know. And it's a real concern going forward, you know. I suppose, look, the job that I'm doing as a GP as well, look, you kind of you get a feel for it on the ground probably before the numbers come up, you know. So look, I'm just kind of hoping that Cork kind of stays, if you want to be really selfish about it, that our numbers in Cork stay down and we can finish the championship, you know. I just feel, look, it would be a shame. Look, I think we're in a really good form with low injuries this year, you know. So I think we've a very good chance of having a rattle off it, you know. So I'd be gutted if the whole thing is pulled, you know. But look, you know, all for the greater good in the end of the day, you know.
And speaking of that last group game, you're now in a pretty much a pole position for that game against Clann.
Yeah, look, I suppose, look, Clann still have something to fight for, you know. So look, you can never be too complacent going into a game, you know. And look, it's just for us, look, it's just another game, you know. Look, there, you know, there's a semi-final spot to look at as well, you know. Without, you know, I'd never underestimate Clannachilty. Look, on their day, they're a good side, you know. They've a lot of kind of marquee names and stuff, you know, so they can trouble anybody on their day. And look, again, look, it's their championship is over if they don't beat us, you know. So look, we'll be taking that game very seriously as well going into it, you know. We won't be complacent going in anyway, that's for sure.
That's Paul O'Keefe there of the Bar speaking after their win today, 220 to 110. Suggests a very comfortable win, Lauren, was it?
It was. There was a lot of skill on show, but I suppose the outcome was never really in doubt. I think Finbar's kind of had control of that game from the get-go. They never looked like they were going to alleviate any sort of possession really at all. A huge score from play from the Bears, 216. They weren't awarded many frees, I suppose, to go on and convert. Only two came from frees, but yeah, a very impressive performance from Stephen Sherlock as well as Killian Myers-Murray. Stephen Sherlock getting 111, 17 from play, and then Killian Myers-Murray getting 14 from play. So yeah, hugely impressive.
Yeah, two wins from then two, so they're top of the group heading into the final round. So looking very, very good and very, very solid.
Absolutely, yeah. They're playing Clann now in the next game, so I think Clann are going to need to win after their defeat today against Carrigaline, wasn't it? Yeah, Carrigaline. Oh, sorry, no. Ballincollig, I should say. So yeah, that'll be an interesting one. Finbarrs will obviously want to top that group to get that easier draw, and Clonakilty will need to win to qualify. So all to play for.
What was it like being in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, a virtually empty Páirc Uí Chaoimh today? It must have been kind of eerie, I'd say, was it?
It was. It didn't seem so until the national anthem was played and everyone stood up and we're kind of looking around and there was literally no one, because the whole opposite stand was empty bar the subs of Carrick Line. So yeah, eerie.
Because you weren't in the main stand, were you? Today?
No, just the Carrick Line subs were the only people over in the main stand. Even the media were situated over in the other side. I suppose it's a bit smaller and added a little bit to the atmosphere. But yeah, it was very strange.
Must have been weird. I'd imagine, like, in a stadium that size, the voice just bouncing around. Stadium,
you do hear a lot more, even at the water breaks. You get a good insight into what the management are actually saying. And I think at one point in the second water break, the bar's management nearly kind of had to remind themselves to keep it cool a little bit, because we would hear absolutely everything.
But it is weird, I suppose, like, in a stadium that size and only 200 people allowed into it.
Yeah, it's very strange. And we're nearly all within one section, because the section is that large, you know. It's a pity that we can't have more fans there. Obviously, I'm sure there are plenty around the county that would like to be at those matches, and that game today wasn't streamed either. So it's a pity, because there was such skill on show. We've seen a huge amount of very skillful points taken from play today. Actually, that it's unfortunate that no one got to see them, but I suppose we're trying to create somewhat of an atmosphere through Twitter updates and whatnot.
Yeah, it's not quite the same. No. I know what you mean, though. But look, with the COVID cases being what they are and seemingly rising, it doesn't look likely that 200 limit is going to be, I suppose, increased anytime soon, although we certainly hope it will be. But yeah, I wouldn't be banking on it anytime soon.
No, and even over the weekend you see a couple of counties are actually limiting or taking away the supporters from their group games. I think Leitrim this weekend made their games all be played behind closed doors, and Clare are doing that at the moment as well. So I think we might start to see that potentially happening, but that could be on a county by county basis. And I don't, the Cork numbers aren't rising too quickly, which is great to see.
I suppose we've seen a couple of clubs having to close for COVID related cases, and that seems to be happening a bit more frequently, and I suppose it's the nature of it. It's going to continue happening, I guess.
It is, yeah. We're seeing it in a number of different counties and different clubs. Everyone does seem to be quite precautious, and we aren't hearing of any outbreaks in clubs, which is obviously a positive. But it hasn't been a good week for sport, I think, and then that's across not only GAA but rugby, soccer, and in a number of different sports.
And then in the UK, you see like the Crucible and the Snooker in a venue with a capacity of 900, 300 people inside in the Crucible, and I didn't see many masks on in that coverage. It's frightening.
Yeah, no, it's sometimes like that. Even if you're noticing different videos now, when you're kind of shuddering when you do see people in close contact, maybe even videos that were obviously recorded well before COVID, but I think we're all conditioned now to think that we should not be close to anybody at all.
Yeah, it's a weird one. It's a strange kind of reality we're currently living in, but the one we have to deal with, I suppose, make the most of, and hopefully everyone stays safe, and hopefully sport can continue. All right, going to talk Gaelic Games again. Going to talk Castlehaven. They ensure they'll top Group B of the Bon Secours Hospital Cork Premier Senior Football Championship as they beat Newstown 112-9 points at Skibbereen today. Mark Collins' frees are important as the Haven led by 8 points to 3 at half time, but Newstown put up a spirited response in the second half. 2 points from David Buckley helped them cut the lead to 2 points. That was as close as it came, though, and the Haven secured the win with points from Collins and Conor O'Driscoll before Michael Hurley got a clinching goal at the death. Dennis Hurley's been speaking to Haven manager James McCarthy.
It's a job done. Like, you knew coming here that if you won, you were going to top the group and into the quarterfinals. So it's the primary aim achieved.
Yeah, so I looked delighted. I suppose we knew what we were facing in Newstown. They're one club with some fierce admiration for what they're doing at hurling and football. Maybe they were coming in one hand behind their back, so we wanted to hit them early, but we knew what we were facing, so we picked our team based on what we were facing, and it worked the dream to put 20 minutes. We had a very bad quarter, but giving that, we must give credit to Newstown. They threw the kitchen sink at us, and they gave us everything. We freshened it up the last quarter and we got in top.
Yeah, you were kind of living your wits a bit. Like, they had a free to come back to 2 points, and you know, you've expected to go over, hit the post and wide, yeah, and then he went straight up and went four ahead, yeah, and clinched it down with the goal. Like,
yeah, we think, and we had a couple of bad wides maybe.
Yeah.
The first quarter of the second half, we had about two bad wides in front of goal there, just wrong selection.
Yeah.
And maybe we're on for goal. Jack Allen was on for goal one time and he had two options.
Yeah.
Both called for it. He didn't know which way he cut for over carrying. But look, at the end of the day, I take this.
Yeah.
With the virus and the shit that was going on, to be in the quarter final of the county is, yeah, unbelievable. Yeah.
And still something to play for in the last game, and that he could kind of take the semi final spot if he had, yeah, a good enough result.
Well, I suppose we need more pole position there, yeah, now. But what we'll be doing is setting up again tomorrow morning, getting ready to play Island Rovers and get a result and see where it'll take us.
That's James McCarthy there, Castlehaven manager, speaking to Dennis after their win today. 112 to 9 points at Skibbereen today is the scoreline as they beat Newcestown in that West Cork group of death. Going to hear now from Newcestown boss Tom Wilton, also speaking to Dennis.
Tough one, I suppose, kind of game you were expecting. Yeah, it didn't go your way, but bottom line is, you know what you have to do next time out.
Well, we weren't ready for the, I suppose, the intensity of it at, yeah, the start. We looked off, whatever. And look,
but that's the hurting,
I suppose,
you think?
The reality is, yeah, you can't serve two masters. Not in the short turnaround that we were expected to do.
Yeah.
Like, the reality is, after last Saturday night, the lads had a recovery session on Monday night,
yeah,
where there was no ball brought out, and we had a nice training on Thursday. Like, it's just like, I mean, if we were trying to do more,
yeah,
we would only be trying to flex.
Of course,
it,
yeah, yeah.
You know, so that's the way it was. We were, I suppose, gave ourselves a great chance in the third quarter then.
Yeah.
And then we had a couple of injuries or whatever, and the whole thing kind of change momentum again and whatever, and you know, we ended up really disappointed, I suppose, that they got the goal from where we should have had,
yeah,
ahead of point, and yeah, we had been within 2 or 3 points, and in the end, I suppose, we'd have been said, look, that was fair enough.
Yeah.
We weren't. It looked like a bit of a beating, but I don't think it really reflected the way the second half went.
Yeah, but I suppose at least, you know, you're going to the Cabaret Rangers game now, and it's, well, a draw would actually do we, I suppose, and scoring difference, but effectively winner takes all. Like,
don't tell them that.
Yeah.
Don't tell them that. It's winner takes all.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, you go and you win your game, and you get into the quarterfinal the proper way. That's the way we'll be looking at it.
That's Newcestown's Tom Wilson there speaking to Dennis after today's defeat to Castlehaven. Alright, 2019 champions Nemo Rangers still on track to retain their title as they had a big win over Bishopstown last night, 217 to 6 points was how it finished in Porky. In Bishopstown were held to just a point in the second half as well. That came through a 45 in the final quarter. That was, I suppose, indicative of the amount of possession gained by Nemo throughout the pitch. And that was after as well the sending off of halftime substitute Conor O'Donovan. He saw red just after the restart in an off the ball incident. Now Lauren was at the game last night and spoke to Nemo boss Paul O'Donovan.
Paul, 2 wins from 2, I presume that's exactly where you wanted to be at the start of the season.
It is, of course. It takes the pressure off the third game, even though, depending on tomorrow, know how Valleys get on with Douglas. If Valleys were to win and Douglas were to beat us, you're all 2 wins each. Then if Valleys were to beat Bishopstown, so I think to be safe we need to win our third game as well. 2 will probably see you coming out of the group, but you need to win your third game also.
Took a few minutes to get the engines going today.
It did, I suppose. They started, it's very physical, and I thought we responded well to it. We were a point up from a free at the start, and then they got 3. We were 3-1 down, but I thought we reacted well, and we they only got 2 more points in the first half. I think we went off at half time as a 1-8-5 up, and then in the second half, despite being a man down for 20 minutes, I thought we controlled the game.
Plenty of stats that I'm sure will illustrate how stable a performance it actually was across the pitch. You only conceded 1 score in the second half, and that was from a placed ball. Yeah. But I suppose the key factor, I think, for me today was the delivery into the full forward line and even the acceptance in that full forward line of those balls.
Yeah, I thought all 3 of the lads inside, Mark, Luke and Conor Horgan, showed very well. And once they went in, they held on to it and they used it well. They took the right option the majority of times. A couple of times now, I felt we could have used a bit better. but the majority of times, and if you can get that right in most games, that fellas do the right thing the majority of times, then you're going to be there or thereabouts. If you can avoid turnovers, turnovers is a big thing for us.
That red card incident, is that something that you saw, or what's your opinion on that?
Well, I was going down the field, so I looked down the field, and then I heard a voice as I turned back in, and there seemed to be four or five guys exchanging pleasantries. I don't know how to. I think someone must have mentioned something, and or 13 got a red, so that's it.
And is that something that I presume you'll appeal heading into that third group game from the chat and the sideline here?
You could if you had video evidence, but I don't know. Has anyone videoed it? We actually have videoed, but whether it is captured on the video, if he's innocent, of course, we'll appeal it. But if he did something wrong, you just take it on the chin and get on with it.
Despite being a man down for the last 25 minutes or so, it didn't seem to affect you at all.
No, and that was due to work rate, massive work rate. We were very fortunate, actually. We just got the goal after it, and then we had the break. Mm-hmm. So we were able to regroup and organise ourselves. And I felt just once we were quite happy to concede the kickouts then from then on, because we were outnumbered. They got a black card just after that then, so that evened it up again. So we were able to press again. And I just felt that I thought we saw out the game. We just were comfortable in the end.
Mark Cronin came back into the team today. He had a brilliant second half performance. How are the rest of those injuries faring?
Hopefully now we'd have like Kevin Folignatti's back and available, Conor Shalhoub's back and available. They were on the line tonight. We've intermediate tomorrow night, so we're reluctant to bring fellas on unnecessarily. Alan O'Donovan hopefully back for the next day, Aidan O'Reilly hopefully back, so things are looking good. I think the key to it, because of the situation you're going into with quarter, semi and final and the 1-3 weekends, you need to have a full panel to pick from, so it'd be nice to have those guys back and available.
Anything in particular that you're going to work on in the next couple of weeks ahead of that Douglas match?
No, just trying up our performance, trying to increase our fitness levels slightly. We're almost there. A small bit of work on fitness levels. We've hurling now in 10 days time, so we'll be doing hurling for the next 10 days, and it'll be back to football then for 10 days before we play again. So it's just work on our game management, our turnovers, keep turnovers to a minimum. That's our goal in every game.
Great, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's Paul O'Donovan there of Nemo Rangers speaking to Lauren after last night's win over Bishopstown. 217-6 points was how it finished in Porky Rain. Were Nemo that good, or were Bishopstown that poor, Lauren?
Nemo were that good. They had a huge amount of possession, especially in the second half. I think if you were to look at one of those heat maps, if ever we had that kind of technology in Porky Rain, I think most of it would be within the half of Bishopstown, I suppose. Barely got the ball past the halfway line, and when they did, it resulted in a 45 that they converted. But up until about 45 minutes in, they actually, or the third quarter, I should say, they hadn't scored, or they hadn't threatened to score, and that was just down to Nemo's work rate, consistently trying to create scores. The delivery of ball into their full forward line was immense, but also like the acceptance of it, like they were trying to create scores every single time they had possession within that that full forward line, and it's just kind of indicative of the work rate that they put in. So yeah, I was hugely impressed by Nemo last night.
And Mark Cronin playing very well last night, scoring 1-4, 1-3 from play as well. Luke Connolly with 8 points last night, 6 of those from free. So their forward line is certainly clicking, and seems to be clicking early.
Yes, absolutely. And they did have that player sent off early into the second half.
Yeah, what happened there?
Well, I don't think anyone really knows. So the ball had been, was in Bishopstown possession. They kicked it down through, I suppose, the 45, down through the 65. And then commotion started back around the kind of between the 21 and the 45. And there was a big group of people. Three players were singled out, 2 Nemo and 1 Bishopstown. And it was Conor O'Donovan, who had just been introduced at half time. So he was wearing number 13, but was introduced at half time, and he got sent to the line on a straight red card. No one really seems to know what happened. As I said, the ball had moved on, so we had all kind of moved on with it. So I couldn't actually tell you what happened. He did plead his innocence to me afterwards, but that's not going to hold up, I think, in a court of law. So unless now Nemo have some sort of video evidence on that, I don't know how they might actually go and appeal that. Yeah. But yeah, it looks like he'll be missing the next day.
So Nemo defending champions, a lot of talk with them like going on and retaining that title this year. I know it's very, very early doors, but I mean, like, when you're looking this good after 2 games, I mean, like, I suppose the favourites tag, I suppose, justified.
Absolutely, and obviously I've only seen 2 games this weekend, but they were by far the most impressive of the weekend. They are facing Douglas in the next round. Nemo probably will qualify. They have a huge scoring difference. They're plus 22 at the moment. Douglas do need to win that next game to qualify. So that will be an interesting clash. And I'm sure there's probably somewhat of a rivalry between those two teams, and no one is going to want to be leaving that game, dropping any points. So yeah, I think that'll be an interesting clash next out.
Interesting line in Owen Cormacan's report in the Examiner today. It says that Nemo's half-back line scored more from play than their opponents, which I suppose kind of just shows Nemo's dominance last night.
That's true, yeah. That's 1-2 from play that they scored yesterday. So, exactly. It just shows the amount of dominance that they had. And their cleverness on the ball as well. I think you can have the best footballers out there, but if you can't create scores or create good plays, then you're kind of you've a lot of work to do.
All right, so a good win for Nemo Rangers last night. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to hear from Bandon after their draw today.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
Delighted you could join us on the Big Red Bench on this Sunday evening. Rory and Lauren are here until 7 p.m. this evening. And if you'd like to send us a message, you can text us 086 8104 106. You can tweet us as well at Big Red Bench. It's finished scores between Livingston and Rangers in the Scottish Premiership. That means that Rangers go top of the table by virtue of goal difference over Hibs. They have 10 points from their opening four games. Of course, Celtic not playing this week because they were very, very bold boys and had no games this week. Were you to play Aberdeen today, who are also bold boys, and they didn't play today. But Nicola Sturgeon, the Scottish First Minister, came out earlier in the week basically saying that Scottish football was on its yellow card and she didn't want to have to shut down the season, but she would.
I like the way you're calling them bold boys. That's very politically correct, I suppose, word to use.
Yeah, it's accurate. I mean, what Bolly Bolingoli did for Celtic was absolutely ridiculous. You can't fly to Spain, not tell your club, and then not quarantine when you come back. It was absolutely ludicrous. So Celtic with no games this week, so they're now 6 points off the pace, but you can be sure they'll get that back as soon as they start playing again. And St. Pat's and Shamrock Rovers scoreless after 76 minutes in the Tristan League Premier Division. St. Pat's down to 10 men as well. Former Cork City defender Shane Griffin given his marching orders after two yellow cards, one in the 37th minute and one in the 49th minute. So it's St. Pat's holding the leaders, Shamrock Rovers. Their score of Shamrock Rovers looking very, very solid so far this season. Definitely the team to beat, and look like they're the team to catch. And of course, Cork City, that fantastic win on Friday night against Sligo Rovers, which I'm sure will imbue some massive confidence for the Rebel Army going forward, particularly after winning over Longford as well in the Cup last Tuesday night. So a good week for Cork City indeed. All right, going to stick with Gaelic games and in the Senior A Football Championship today. Bandon and Donnie's played out 12 points apiece draw earlier on this afternoon. Ger McCarthy there for us, and spoke to Donald Keller.
Okay, Donald Keller of Bandon, 12 points apiece, a draw with Donnies after a cracking West Cork derby. You were winning it, then they came back late. It looked like they'd won it, and a late point earned you a draw. How do you assess your team's performance?
It was a local derby. It was always going to be a big match for both sides. Donnies lost their first match, so they were definitely coming to go for a result here. If you asked me at the start of the match, would we have taken a draw? We would. We'd have been very happy. And are we happy to get a draw the way we played? We are. Because we didn't play well.
Yeah, you kicked some poor wides. So did they, know, to be fair, but you kicked some wides you normally associate you with scoring.
Yeah, look, I think that's down to Don, isn't their work rate in particular. They made our life very difficult. They had a game plan. It was very effective. They used an extra man up and down the pitch that we never seemed to counter throughout the game. And we have a lot of work to do over the next 3 weeks before we play for Mayo, because, you know, we made a lot of simple errors. We lost a lot of turnovers. We had a lot of silly wides. Our work rate wasn't anywhere near where it should be for a team that we had against Clyde.
Considering the format of the championship, you do have that third game now against the Fermoy team, who threw away a lead against Clyde and lost today. So there's a lot riding on that game.
There's a huge amount riding on that game. Like Fermoy are a big team. They're a good team. They beat Castlehaven in the first match last year on Brinny, so they'll be coming with a feeling a little bruised after the game today against Clyde. So, you know, there's no easy game in this. Sure, there's no easy game. Every game is a tough game, and there's a lot to play for. Every game is a cup final.
And just, there was a lot of positives out of
result too, in fairness. I know it didn't go your way at the end of the day, but there were some fantastic scores and some great individual performances.
There were some excellent performances. Like, we're building a team over the next 2 or 3 years. We're building youth and a mixture of experience. And that's going to take a time for the lads to get to know each other. So if you ask me to start the list, if we had 3 points on the board after 2 games, I'd have taken it.
That's Bandon boss Donald Kelleher there speaking to Jerry McCarthy after their 12 points apiece draw with Donnies in the Senior A Football Championship earlier on today. I caught up with Jerry McCarthy actually earlier on today to chat about the weekend's Gaelic Games action, and where we're all heading into the final week. All right, to look over some of the weekend's action, we're joined by the Big Red Bench's own Jerry McCarthy. Jerry, how are you, sir?
I'm very good, Rory. Back from holidays, refreshed and already retired from all the matches.
Yeah, there's a lot of matches this weekend, particularly in the Premier Senior Football Championship. Busy weekend, moving day, I suppose, the second series of matches. And already, Nemo Rangers looking like the team to catch and the team to beat.
Yeah, a very comprehensive victory over Bishopstown, which was covered on the Big Red Bench Twitter feed by Lauren Guilfoyle last night. And a very, very impressive performance, Grant. They were down to 14 men for a period of that match, but it looks like Nemo are being their usual selves, very commanding. And you'd have to think, Rory, that the way the format of the championship is working this year, and that there's no big gaps between their owns, the likes of Nemo are going to benefit from it. And they showed last night that they're still the team to beat.
Yeah, certainly so. I mean, like, they have kind of hit the ground running, I suppose, scoring well. And as you mentioned, being down to 14 men last night and still performing so very, very well. I think Bishopstown didn't score a point in the second half until the 55th minute, which just shows you, I suppose, how good defensively they are on top of their scoring prowess.
Yeah, and Paul O'Donovan would have them well schooled on that. And like, you look at teams like Nemo and the talent in certainly 1-15, but also coming off the bench, they look like, as I said, last night was a game you would expect them to win, but the margin of victory and the manner of victory, I think, will make all your favourites sit up and take notice.
And the big one in West Cork last night as well, Carbery Rangers back on track, and a good win for them last night, finishing strong to win.
It was, and they were pushed to the pin of their collar by another Rovers team that defeated them in the opening round the previous season. So I interviewed Brian Shanahan, their fullback, earlier in the week, and he had mentioned the fact that they weren't taking them lightly whatsoever. A good victory lead O'Rourke back from injury, the Cork senior footballer John O'Rourke back, and in the absence of John Hayes as well, who's out, we don't know for how much longer, but it was important that O'Rourke was there down the stretch. They got the important scores, but a good performance from Willie Rovers to push them all the way to the third quarter. But I think experience again the key here for Carbery Rangers, not panicking and getting the victory.
Yeah, it certainly so. And Castlehaven in that West Cork group of that today with a good win over Newcestown.
Yes, the best named group ever in the history of Cork senior football, the group of death down here in West Cork. Not unexpectedly a close game. I think Newcestown have been going very, very well, both in football and hurling recently. It's a dual club. It's pretty much the same bunch of players. But I was impressed just watching on the Irish Examiner. Again, well done to the Examiner. Another superb feed on that game. The goal by Michael Hurley late in the game is what decided it. Mm-hmm. I can say that even though Newcestown put up a good fight, the expected result.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's the West Cork group of death. So it's all kind of finally paused, I suppose, heading into the final group of games.
It is, and because Castlehaven now have 2 wins, but Carbery Rangers will be going into that game against Newcestown needing victory to progress, and that's the beauty of the way the county board have designed the groups. Now, I'll be honest, and I'll admit it at the start, I wasn't a fan of the group format, but when it first came out, I doubted that it would have the impact that it has had. But in fairness to the county board, they've gotten it right, because we have games for teams who want to avoid relegation. And we also have teams, most of the final rounds of group games, both at senior, premier senior and senior A.
And you're a good win for Ballincollig today as they beat Clonakilty. It was a game that Ballincollig had to win, and I suppose they did so in style against Clon today.
They did, Rory, and they got off to the best possible start, because they got 7 points in the opening 15 minutes and held Clon scoreless. Cian Dorgan had a fine outing for Ballincollig, and as you said, like, when the chips were down today and they had to get that victory, and they were more than deserving winners. Clon will be disappointed, because they didn't really get going until it was too late, and it does now, even though they have a victory under their belts, put some under pressure heading into their last game against the Bears.
Joe, you've been at a number of Senior A Football Championship games this weekend. What's the state of play? I mean, like, how are we looking in the Senior A Football Championship?
The past weekend, I mean, currently Bandon and Donnies, there's only a point between them at half time here out in Ayol in West Cork. It's a West Cork derby, a really, really good game of football. Yesterday evening, I saw another West Cork team, Skibbereen, O'Donovan Rossa. They were put to the pin of their collar by Ballingarry in a really, really tight match. Dylan Horahan and Don Logue Hadnett, former Cork player who's on the way back from a big injury, were hugely important to Skib there because they got their second win in a row, which means they have qualified heading into their final game. But Ballingarry put in a decent effort, and if they can repeat that effort in their final game, they should be okay. But it's still very, very tight in each of the groups there, and that's the interesting thing at this stage of the season, that there's no out and out favourite coming out of this actual grade, which was the expectation at the start following the draw. But I do like the look of O'Donovan Rossa. They're a team that have plenty of experience, a lot of youth. They were missing Kevin Davis as well yesterday, one of their talismanic forwards, and they got a good win, and they'll be a team to watch in the closing stages, as will the likes of St Michael's, who also are looking good at this stage of the season.
And Joe, I suppose overall, I mean, look, we're two games into the group stages now. I mean, look, overall, the group stage, the group format seems to have gone down massively well and seems to be a tremendous success.
It does, and that does surprise me, because I was somebody that wasn't a big fan of it when it was first mooted, and I was less of a fan of it coming out of the COVID, the lockdown, thinking that a straight knockout would be the best thing. But in fairness to the county board, they've gotten things right. I think there's something to play for in every game. Each team is going for it, and even if you've lost your first two games, you now face the prospect of a relegation playoff, which really means you have to do the business in your final group game. So I think that's been mirrored by the fact that there's been no issue with getting people in with tickets with the limited crowds, and there's been demand for tickets, which is encouraging as well as that. And I'd also cross over into the hurling with that as well, Rory, because it seems to be the exact same with the hurling. The format is definitely suiting it, and if you lose two games normally in the championship, you're gone, whereas now you have a third chance in your final group game to do something about it. But I am looking forward to the knockout stage like everybody else, but it has been a pleasant surprise, I would say, is the best way to describe it thus far.
Alright, Joe, thanks for that. We'll catch you soon.
Cheers, right, talk soon.
That's Joe McCarthy there speaking to us about all the weekend's games, and indeed the group format, Lauren, which seems to have gone down quite well. And as Joe mentioned, going into the last series of games, like in every group almost, there seems to be something to play for.
There is, absolutely, and I think everyone wants to qualify as well as avoid that last fourth relegation spot. Mm. So I have had the calculator out, but let me run through them. So Group A, we have Finnbarr is leading that group at the moment. They have two victories, so they're on 4 points. And they have a score difference of 19, so they're pretty much going to get qualified from that group. Then we have Ballincollig and Clonakilty, both on 2 points. Ballincollig have a +4 score difference, Clonakilty are on -3, and Carrigaline are at the bottom of that group with no points on the board and a -20 score difference. So in the final round of Group A, Finnbarrs will face Clon. Finnbarrs will progress, and as I said earlier, Clonakilty need to win that in order to progress, and then Ballincollig will face Carrigaline. So again, Ballincollig need to win that, and then more than likely will come down to either head-to-head if they both end on the same amount of points, and then if not, it'll go to score difference. So that is Group A. Then into Group B, we have Castlehaven are currently leading that. So they have 4 points on the board and a +11 score difference. Then behind them is Newcestown and Carberry Rangers. So Newcestown are on 2 points and they have a +12 score difference, while Carberry Rangers have a +1 score difference. So there's a bit of a difference there, I suppose, pardon the pun. And then Illan Rovers have no points on the board and they have a -24 scoring difference. So they pretty much seem to be facing into the relegation playoff with that. So in the final round of fixtures there, Newcestown face Carberry Rangers, and that's a winner takes all, really. The winner of that will most likely qualify. And then Castlehaven face Illan Rovers. Castlehaven, as we said, are leading that group. Then into Group C, we have Nemo Rangers are ahead there. They have 4 points on the board, so 2 victories from 2 games, and they have a +22 score difference, so last night obviously would have boosted that. Then behind them, Douglas and Valley Rovers are both on 2 points, both have 2 points on the board. Douglas with a +2 scoring difference and Valley Rovers with a -2 scoring difference. And then at the bottom of that table, we've Bishopstown, who have no points on the board and a -22 scoring difference. And I suppose it's been a difficult couple of weeks for Bishopstown. They've lost both opening round games in hurling and football, so it hasn't been a pleasant championship campaign so far.
It's always been a dual club as well, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. So in the final round of games there, Nemo played Douglas and Valley Rovers played Bishopstown. So both Douglas and Valley Rovers need to win to aim to qualify there. And then there is When it comes to relegation, there are three groups, of course, and it's the worst two based on scoring difference that will progress to the relegation final there. So there's a lot to play for in that final round.
Yeah, certainly going to be a very, very exciting final round of games. I suppose that's what the group format gives you as well. I suppose it gives you that drama, that intrigue going into the final round. So plenty to look forward to in the final round of games. I'm going to talk Camogie now for a bit as well. And I suppose you just mentioned to me as well, Nemo Rangers playing their first game in 40 years.
They played their first game in 40 years there. I think it was Friday evening. It didn't go the way they probably wanted, but I think it's the participation that counts really in that one. So it's great to see some clubs returning to the Camogie scene. I think we can always do with more clubs and more clubs participating, I should say.
And the scores as well from the weekend. There was a couple of games this weekend, and you've got the scores.
Yeah, so the Senior Club Camogie Championship, there was a couple of games played across the weekend. So yesterday, I should say, Douglas faced Ballincollig. Douglas won that game 3-16 to Ballincollig's 1-12. Newcestown also had a handful to spare over Imokilly, it can be said. So Newcestown 6-15 to Imokilly's 1-6. And then probably the glamour tie of the weekend, Sarries played Clogdove. And Sarries were victorious there, 1-15 to Clogdove's 9 points. So that is the result from the Senior Club Camogie Championship in Cork. I'm sure Paddy Murray will be keeping a close eye on proceedings there. He has a big task ahead of him. Coming into the intercounty season, I think the added motivation this year, considering that they didn't make the big day in September last year, I think it probably hurt a lot of those Cork girls, seeing them not being involved in that occasion. So yeah, it's an interesting club championship.
Yeah, and the county championships as well, or the intercounty championship starting in October as well. So a little bit of time left, but not that much time. When you say October, you think it's miles away. It's 2 months away.
Yeah, so the club final here in Cork is down for September 27th, and of course that's with an asterisk beside it, hoping everything goes well. And then the intercounty season is down to throw in on October 17th. And the final of the Camogie Championship will be held on December 12th, which is a Saturday evening in Crow Park. It's going to be a standalone fixture, which will be an interesting occasion in itself. It has been a triple header the last couple of years with Premier Junior and Intermediate. And I suppose they have struggled to get attendances. I know they had a record attendance last year, just short of 25,000, a little bit behind, of course, the ladies football fixtures. So yeah, that's going to be an interesting occasion, but I think, to be honest, Paddy Murray and the Cork crew probably won't care how many are there to watch them if they are lifting that O'Duffy Cup.
Yeah, fingers crossed that they will be. I suppose you can't really have a triple header considering the state of the pitch in December, first off. But also, I suppose, with social distancing being as it is, and we don't know what way the country's going to look like in 4 months' time. So the triple, it's disappointing, I suppose, for the other grades not having their big deal in Crow Park.
Yeah, absolutely. And Crow Park is going to be, we're so busy that December, so we have numerous All-Ireland finals, so we'll have like on different days as well, so we'll have minor finals, we'll have senior finals. Of course, we won't have a minor Camogie final. That is a controversy that happened a couple of weeks and months ago, and there has been no progression when it comes to that, which is a pity. Cork are defending All-Ireland minor Camogie champions, so it is a pity that they won't be able to defend that crown this year. But yeah, Cork do have, so the draw was made for the Camogie Championship there a couple of weeks ago, and Cork were drawn in a pretty tough group, it can be said. So they do have Galway in that group, who are defending All-Ireland Senior Camogie Champions, and they also have Offaly and Wexford in that group too. Offaly do struggle, I suppose, at the senior grade, and Wexford of course have had a number of difficulties over the last number of seasons trying to field teams, but they do have a strong tradition and culture within Camogie. So yeah, that is the group that Cork have to face, and two will come out of that, so all eyes will be on that Galway clash, I think.
Yeah, looking forward to that when it gets up and running. And there was an article during the week that you were talking to me about, and that we were looking at, the 50 best Camogie players from the past 50 years, and a number of Cork players obviously featured, because Cork is class.
Absolutely. So yeah, I think across lockdown we've seen a number of these lists, different types of lists, like everyone that's been a different caveat added to each list. But Cliona Foley in the Examiner last week published her top 50 Camogie players of the last 50 years. So there are obviously some other names that might jump to your mind but aren't included on this, considering it does only go back the last 50 years. So the top 10, I suppose I'll quickly run through, there are a couple of Cork conclusions on that. In number 10 we've Anne Dalton, who is Kilkenny. Then at 9 we've Wexford's Kate Kelly. 8 we've Ursula Jacob, from Wexford, so you'll know her from the Sunday game. Mm-hmm. 7, Anne Downey. 6, we have our first Cork inclusion, Rena Buckley, and I think no one can have any complaints over that. Then at 5, we have Linda Melrick, also from Cork, so not of the current era, not too long ago though. Mm-hmm. And then at 4, we have Deirdre Hughes from Tipperary. In 3, another Cork inclusion, Sandy Fitzgibbon. At 2, then we have the great Gemma O'Connor. Again, an inclusion that no one can really dispute. Her performance in the 2018 All-Ireland, I should say, was fantastic. She wasn't going to make that through injury, but she ended up doing so. And then at number 1, we have the other Downey sister, Angela. And both Angela and Anne, of course, are at the helm of Kilkenny Camogie over the last couple of years, stepping away for this season. A number of other Cork girls, just to give a brief mention to, that were included in that top 50 list, of Mary McCarthy. Then we also have Mary O'Leary, Jennifer O'Leary. Who else do we have here? We have Mary O'Connor, Orla Cotter again of the current era, Fiona O'Driscoll, numerous Cork players making that list, Aoife Murray there as well, who just recently retired. It's a very Cork heavy list. Mm-hmm. But I think when we look at the role of honour over the last couple of years, it's there's no
certainly
disputing
justified,
that.
Right, yeah.
Absolutely.
Cork is class, basically. Alright, just to wrap up the show, we're going to talk athletics. We heard from Lizzie Lee last. We're going to hear the second part of that interview today. She says she's undecided as to whether she'll try to qualify for the Tokyo Olympics, which will be held next year. She's been chatting to Oisin Langan about how her running career has changed since the Olympic Games in Rio, and how the running community handled the COVID lockdown. This is at the announcement of the KBC Virtual Dublin Marathon, which is taking place in October.
What do you get out of marathon running? And I know in some ways you're an extreme example because you're an Olympian, so it's obvious what you get. You're a top-end athlete, but you actually started quite late. Like, you didn't start proper athletics till you were in your early 20s or late 20s, I beg your pardon. So you actually do get what someone who run a marathon in 6 hours gets. You get why people do it. Why do people do it? What do you get out of it?
If I've learned one thing in lockdown, well, I've learned a few things in lockdown, I think we all have, but one thing that I can take away from it all is that I absolutely love running. I love it. I was coming back from, I got back from running after my baby Jess a bit too soon. I was injured January and February, and in March, the day Leo announced the lockdown, I had run 30 minutes. And I built it up throughout lockdown, and my joy, my bliss, my favourite part of every day throughout all of this has been 7 a.m. runners on, gone. And I'm a mom to 3 small kids, right? And I'm on maternity leave and my husband's working from home and I was homeschooling a junior infant and I had a toddler and I was breastfeeding a small baby. And to get out the door and just do the 10 miles and to push my body and to come, because I was getting fit through this, I'm still not fully fit, to get that feeling coming in with the burning lungs and the so tired legs, and it's just the endorphins. So to me, it's not a chore training for a marathon, because I just love the feeling of how my body feels when I'm doing all this and how I feel when I'm gone from the house and nobody can ring me and nobody can get me and no one can follow me to the toilet, because that's what you've got when you're 3 small kids at home. So I just, you know, And I suppose, look, winning and racing, that's obviously fun. But if I never, if I was given a choice of never racing again or just running, I mean, the just running part, people just love running and we need it. And I've had this conversation about the mental health during lockdown with so many runners, and everyone agrees that, like, if you were a runner, at least we had the 2K and you could get out. And that was just so important and made the days so much easier. So what I'm saying, I suppose, is that for me, running isn't a chore. I know a lot of people say to me, I don't like running or whatever, but I love it and I love the way it makes me feel. And there is nothing, maybe having a baby, up there with crossing the finish line of marathon. There's, you know, it's just the elation and because you've pushed yourself as far as you can go and then you push yourself for another 2 miles. And it's just a fabulous feeling. There's nothing like it.
Now, you mentioned there that running maybe had a bit of a renaissance during the lockdown, because the gyms were closed, pitches were closed, so the only thing you could do was go for a run. Now, not everyone is up to the 26 miles of a marathon yet, but with the KBC Virtual Race Series, they can build up to it, and they can find out more about that at kbcdoublemarathon.ie. What's your advice for that, for building up?
So what I've seen a lot of is that people aren't taking rest days. Because in normal life, we have races. So we do 6 weeks or 5 weeks of hard training, and then you might do a race or a park run or whatever, and you take a few days off before the park run and you freshen up. And that's not happening. And also people want to, like I just said, they want to get out of the house, right? Because they're working from home and the whole lot. And they just want their sanity. So what I would say is build it up. There's a 5 to 10% rule I always give people if they're starting out. Build it up 5 or 10%. A week, because if you do too much too soon, I often get people say to me, I can't run. And usually when I dig down into it, they'll say something like, well, I tried 5 days in a row last week and I got shin splints. That's, you can't just go from nothing to 5 days in a row. So you have to build, there's so many plans online, and KBC have plans for building up. So you build up gradually, find a local group. There's groups everywhere now, and they're starting back. I mean, the Mardyke track is open as of today. Groups are starting back. We're allowed to train now. So find a local group and consistency.
That's good advice there from Lizzie Lee, talking about the KBC Dublin Virtual Marathon, which is taking place in October. And just advice for running in general. I started running recently, actually, Lauren. So I've really, really enjoyed it. I used to hate running. I couldn't handle it. And I just started running, and I've been running like 5Ks and 10Ks and 15Ks, and I've really, really enjoyed it. And again, as Lizzie said, I think it's just time out of the house that I'm enjoying more than running.
It's definitely an activity that takes a little bit of time to start to really enjoy. But then when you do, I think there's no going back.
Just me and my headphones, I'm just happy out. As Lizzie says, no one can phone you, no one can get into you. You're
very
out
mindful.
Of the house. So that's what I'm enjoying. So yeah, if you'll see me running around Watergrass Hill with a big sweaty head in me a couple of times this week. But that's it from us for our show. Thank you very much indeed for tuning our way. We're back next Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Thank you to Lauren for guest hosting for the last 2 weeks.
Thanks for having me.
Have you enjoyed
it? I really have. Yeah, getting stuck into some Cork GA and Cork sport in general is always good.
We'll make you a Cork woman yet. Not really a Cork woman yet anyway. All right, Green and Red's up next. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday evening, folks. Podcast online very, very shortly too. Good night.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.